Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Give him a big clap offering. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Thanksgiving. And then give a little clap for the wonderful worship team. Hallelujah. Glory. We just finished our awesome conference in summer. Many of them are just go from glory to glory. It just that we reach such a height of intensity and awesomeness and plain fun. Wasn't it? And we are just thanking the Lord for His presence and what He did, and I saw reviewed some of the video of that, and it's on. You want to experience what we experienced, you can get on the web and go on our website, chowderministries.org, and watch. And that was, and we have some. The Lord's been able to help us get new equipment, and the broadcast quality and the visuals are so awesome. I love it. And then we had the bubbles. Better than Lawrence Welk. And in a moment, not too long from now, we're going to have the bubbles visit us again, I think. And we talked about the bubble, staying in the bubble of glory. Say the bubble of glory. And we talked about something that is the presence of God. We can think of it as a bubble that you are surrounded by the love of God, by the power of God, by the intensity of the Holy Spirit. And it transmits that God is taking us from glory to glory, all right? That beholding, one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You are being transformed from glory to glory. Your situation is being transformed from glory to glory. Your family, your children, your grandchildren are being transformed from glory to glory. So only it just takes you from blessing to blessing, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. It's you reach one level, and the Lord has, I feel like over the last few weeks, just before I went to the Ashland camp meeting, by the way, Pastor Bonnie is now at the Ashland Revival camp meeting, so we bless her. Say, bless you, Pastor Bonnie. And may she be blessing hundreds of people there and thousands on the broadcast from Ashland. Now, that's a family affair, really, for us. We are like relatives in the glory. With the camp meeting, with Ashland camp meeting, with Tabernacle, Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. So we call ourselves, this is All Nations Church. This is also the Watch of the Lord World Headquarters. This is also the headquarters of ChowderMinistries.org. I don't know who we are. No, we belong to the Lord, and we are the sons and daughters. We got salvation in Jesus Christ, and it's so wonderful that we can be family in the Lord. So we were privileged, number one, to host hundreds of people. This conference, we were packed out. We ran out of chairs. We had to scrounge every chair on this campus because the Lord just filled this place with hungry people. Say hungry. Hungry. How many of you are hungry for more of God? Okay. Say hungry. Hungry. Thirsty. For more of God. And I believe His presence is hearing our voice and said, we not only as individuals, and this is but it's families. It's a family affair, and then it's a national affair. It's important. By the way, as we want to greet all our partners, all the people who are listening to us on the World Wide Web, and there are families watching us in, I know, in Germany, Switzerland, I know in Brazil, I know they're watching us in Singapore and Malaysia and Korea, South Korea. I mean, I don't know, maybe even North Korea, who knows? A lot of our material has been translated in Korean, and we have been able to see to it that thousands of our books and other stuff is now with pastors in North Korea. Just want you to know. So we bless that. Do you know that the Pentecostal Azusa Revival breakthrough in that part of the world in Korea was in Pyongyang, the very capital now of North Korea? That's where revival first fell during the Azusa Revival time in the Korean Peninsula. That's where it began, and the devil hated it so much that, you know, a few years later, that's where he pounced upon. So there are some things that I'm meditating, it's kind of connecting. Anyway, we want to bless the revival and the glory blessing over the camp meeting right now, where many of our people are there tonight helping Pastor Bonnie. There were a whole bunch of team people that, I mean, watch team members and ANC members that went with me, and our youth came for a whole week. A number of days at least, with me at the camp meeting. So in the Calvary camp meeting, Ashland, Virginia, there are hundreds of people who come from foreign countries, and there are people from different parts of West Africa and East Africa. There were people from Kenya, there were people from Uganda, there were people from Burkina Faso, from Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana, and Nigeria. And yet there were pastors also from India and the Philippines that stay on campus, that feed them for free, and that house them for free, and it's beautiful. It's lovely. So I'm glad we have been attached to that work for 17 years that I go. I used to go before even. But when Sister Ruth passed away, then I, who was the head of the camp revival, they asked me to start, open the camp meeting like she did. So anyway, we are connected. So we blessed that. And I got a prayer request sent to us that we want to remember to pray that one of the extended family members of the Calvary founders, that there is just, we send healing to them. And one of the young great granddaughters is just found today, that this 7-year-old named Trinity has got cancer, and they were taking her to ICU just at the beginning of our watch service tonight. And so we send angels right now. We are in agreement at the watch. We bless and speak healing to little Trinity and pray that the cancer will be stopped, and in fact that she, by His stripes, young, little, precious young Trinity, 7-year-old girl, young lady, is going to be healed by the stripes of Jesus. By His stripes. Let's say, by His stripes. We were healed. Trinity is healed by the stripes on Jesus. Amen. We're in agreement, right? Say agreement. And it's good. That's one of the things that we do in the watch, is loose the power of agreement. And it is awesome. We don't realize how important it is. We don't want to hang separately. Kind of weakness came in. There was an awesome power of revival glory that came in 40 plus years ago, almost 45, nearly 50 years of the first dribbles of the charismatic revival. And then about 2, 3, 4 years later, it just was a flood of glory came over the nation. And with it was a fresh revival of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with a prayer language of the Spirit, and the whole thing of massive numbers of people getting freed from denominational yokes or religious yokes and getting filled with the Spirit and being able to move and seeing thousands and then millions of people get to come to salvation and the Holy Spirit power. And then, example, not only in the Billy Graham Crusades, many years ago in the 50s, but that was an aspect, an emblem. 49, 50 is the Billy Graham Crusades, where, I mean, the glory came over New York City. It takes faith to believe that. But, I mean, it's so mighty that literally thousands would come to the altar day after day after day, week after week, where they hired Wembley. It was Wembley Stadium, I believe, where Billy Graham held those crusades. And in New York, Giant Stadium, where it went on for more than 3 months, that just every night they saw hundreds of thousands of souls come to Christ. But at the same time, a lot of us were not aware. We get more from the TV reports and other things here that T.L. Osborne was doing his amazing glory revivals in the third world nations. And you see pictures of those meetings in different parts of Africa and in the Philippines, in the different Asian countries, in India, and many other places. And it was just amazing, the impact of the power of the gospel and people coming in the hundreds of thousands. And in the same way, we want to pray in that revival, a new wave of glory is coming. And that's what I sense, that as we were this last weekend together, there was a level of intensity that was awesome. By the way, I wanted to really recognize, before I go on, some dear, dear friends of Pastor Bonnie and I and the friends of this ministry. We have Lloyd and Glenda Brown and their granddaughter Genevieve with us all the way from Texas, where I see them every year when I go on, you know, I go do meetings in Austin and then do other spiritual things like minister to the animals. You know, you've got to talk to the animals and then hunt them sometimes. But anyway, Lloyd and Glenda and Genevieve, would you mind standing up just for a moment? Because they have been our friends and partners for nearly 30 years. Bless you guys. Welcome to All Nations. See, they lead, and they have been, they have a prayer house and a retreat house in just a few, but about 100 miles from Austin. How many miles from Austin? Huh? 45 minutes. 45 minutes, yeah. In Candelia. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. But they have been used mightily in that part of Texas in a wonderful way to bring the glory. But they watch us, and they are watchmen, and they have got key things to do. So we bless you tonight and all that God has called you and commissioned to do, in Jesus' name. Now, for tonight, we're going to share a little bit of the word. But I want you to know some of the prayer focuses also here tonight. But I want to just recognize some fun. Number one, you know that over this last few years, last about at least 7 years, if not 8 years, 8 years, the economy was getting worse and worse for the U.S. And I remember being, you know, kind of the presiding elder of the watch and the founder, that we have put the economy and praying for our nation and praying for its economy. When you hear thousands and, or really millions of people, hardworking, some of the most hardworking people, believe me, I got to go travel all over, that Americans are some of the most hardworking people. You find in Europe, for example, God bless Europe, but and it needs a blessing, that they will take a vacation. They've got official vacations for everybody for at least 4 to 5 weeks out of the year. They get paid vacations, all of that. I mean, if Americans take even 2 weeks of vacation, it's something. Because usually we just kind of basically focus on work and just be there. So they're hard work. And yet, I get to travel so many places, and it would break my heart to see in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, another country, Wisconsin, off places that were of full employment, factories where thousands would be employed would be empty, giant factories. And I would say, what happened? What happened? And it's like a lot of the manufacturing was sent overseas. And it's like being robbed overnight. Someone has come in and stolen all your furniture and all of that, and you try to sit down and poof, you know, out of force of habit, you sit down, but there's nothing there. Someone took everything away. At least they left a few of our clothing on, so we're not totally naked. But, I mean, factories and the hundreds of thousands of factories moved overnight to different countries. And there were all kinds of excuses, but what I saw was millions of Americans jobless, well, willing to work, loved to work, and yet they couldn't find jobs. And it was really tragic. And that was why we had put, Lord, we pray, turn around the economy. Give us just the wisdom. How can it be turned around? Because we are willing to work as a nation, as a people. We need the jobs to return. Well, this, if you read the Drudge Report and some related thing of yesterday, today, the headlines in today's thing, but somehow they quickly went away. But I was saying, this is awesome. This was after the highest, number of people having jobs, or the unemployment rate has been turned around, where it's the lowest unemployment since 2001. So, and some say the economy is some of the best. It's going to, a lot of things are happening that haven't seen in 17 years, the kind of production and productivity in the oil industry, in the gas industry, in the coal industry, and they are, I mean, ready to export, and it's one of the keys for steady, ongoing prosperity. But I want to recognize and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that those of our countrymen who are looking for work, that they have work, that they have our people. It is most men and women, if you ask them, that it is important that they have jobs. They don't look for a handout. They are not beggars. They are not saying, oh, please, give me. They want to work. But there is dignity in that. And they are finally, it's so great to see some of the faces of people in the regions that, like Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, some of the mining places, some of the factory places. Michigan was one of the other places that the car industry had moved away. And, you know, it was, once you see the people, I got to pray for them all, and I would see the hurt look on them. And it's restoration is coming. And that word, revival, restoration, and of not only families and individuals, but of a nation and its economy, that we give thanks to the living God, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you. If you read book of Joel, chapter 1 and chapter 2, when the former and latter rain comes, when God pours out His Spirit, then prosperity comes. The yoke of famine is broken. That's why a few weeks ago, I brought the word. I first released it. Well, I don't know whether I made it into a sermon. Here I spoke about it briefly. But in Ashland, I did a whole teaching on it. That the drought is over. But we have to release it. You have to not just say, okay, I see the figures and yeah, it's good. No. You got to declare. You got to prophesy over each other. So when we receive a living word, you got to open your mouth and release it and speak it over our children. Speak it over our herds and flocks. Speak it even over your dogs and cats. I have an awesome testimony of even, I found that story out. That's so many wonderful things God does, but when you hear it, oh, it touched my heart so much. How many of you love doggies and cats? Do you like dogs and cats? I love dogs and cats. My blood boils when if you hear anyone being cruel to these precious creatures the Lord gives as gifts to us. But I heard a New Testament. Something I didn't know that there's a doggy who was dying. Chicago. We had a whole group of Chicago people here this weekend. And they said, you remember? I'm sorry, I don't remember. This lady came and said, my best friend, her dog has got cancer. And it's dying. And so I'm happy. We bring dogs into our healing services, I just want you to know. So if someone says our services are going to the dogs, believe it. And I won't go into, but when I put my hand over those, they're slain in the spirit. Dogs fall over. So we're going to set a training for our ushers to become officially dog catchers. So, that was for you, Johnny. You better learn to catch dog catchers. Anyway, but I gave a thread. I couldn't be there because the dog wasn't there, so I gave one of our prayer threads. And I said, put it around the collar. And they sent me a picture. She found all the, we have all the details of the vet's report. Right, Heather? And official medical report. And when they put the red thread out, overnight, the color of her fur changed. And the healing glory touched it. And the doggy was completely healed of cancer. Overnight, the symptoms started going. It's amazing. So it works. Jesus is real. And He loves you and me. Tell your neighbor, He loves you. Not only that, but He loves your cats and dogs too. Amen. Anyway, I was talking about revival. One of the symptoms of revival is it facilitates salvation. It facilitates the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Katie, you want to tell us about the aspect in the last few weeks we saw in Ashland and here.
Good evening. I had the privilege of being with Pastor Mahesh last month when he was in Ashland to open the camp. It's always such a glorious time to be there. But one of the things that was really amazing, and that I believe it was either two or three nights, Pastor asked for people who had not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit or had received but had not received their prayer language. And so when they came up, and he had a few of the team members there, we would go up and start to pray for them, and spontaneously they would burst into tongues. So many times when you pray for people, they need a little bit of instruction, or they need a little encouragement because they're trying to press through, you know, what's they're trying to pray from the mind. But it was absolutely amazing. You would lay hands on them and start to pray for them to receive the baptism, and they would just spontaneously begin to speak in tongues. And some of them would tell us later they had been, you know, the old Pentecostal word, tarrying. They had been praying and asking the Lord for years for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and right then it happened. And the same thing happened at our conference this past weekend. Pastor called for people who had not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I believe he just had them stay in the congregation, yeah, if I recall. And the same thing happened. You would just start to pray for them, and they would just burst out speaking in tongues. So it's really exciting, because that was one of the main signs on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? So,
amen.
I feel the fire. So,
amen.
Feel the wind. So,
yes.
Let's start. Shabaha shakatoroba. Amen.
Yes, and that was the thing I noticed, and Katie noticed also, and she's around a lot of the Holy Ghost stuff. That people just—I mean, in a split second, poof, a river would flow. And that's not the case often in the last several years, but it's like the presence is thickening. So as we have observed, you observe a little bit more focus, and you will notice something is happening. When it is there, the wave of glory is coming, we want to catch that wave and stay in the wave of glory and maintain in your life, in our lives corporately, the wave of glory, and we need to help each other. That was the point. One of the points I was going to make was in the 45 years ago, the charismatic revival was awesome. It was, we honor every bit of the outpouring at that time. But over the years, what it turned out into was it was more an individual experience, and what we did not successfully oversee that it would come together is that I need your fire to keep me on fire, and you need my fire and my excitement, and we can, as we come, put our embers together, it bursts forth into great fire, that fire then the nation gets on fire, and we need that. And there are reasons why I want to just emphasize that. But as we pray, number one, we thank the Lord. For one of the things we are seeing of Joel chapter 2 is the former letter rain, it brings the drought is broken, the drought is over. In Israel, the pictures are more of and he restores the oil and the wine and the fruit and all of that. And it was an agricultural society. So one of the signs of real blessing is the crops are restored so they can, you know, hey, the more production, the more wealth and abundance comes. Here, when you see, whether it's the oil, praise God, more oil, Lord, let it come forth. More gas, we are exporting more gas to the European nations. Poland was one of the places, what, a couple of months ago that the president went. You ought to go back and see the video of it and the response of those people. And they're going to be importing more of, and that's billions of dollars worth of reserves from America. So the more we produce, the more people who have jobs, and there is more wealth and provision. And the more there is, we can be gracious to the widows and the orphans. We can we can help as a nation. As we are a prosperous nation, we can bless. When you are in poverty, that's why we're not looking down on anything except God says, I will give you that word abundance again, Cindy, that it was God gives you abundance, not so that you can drive, you know, you have 50 Rolls Royces and 75 Cadillacs in your garage. How many Cadillacs can you drive? Though Cadillacs are good, Brian. I appreciate Cadillacs or Lincolns or Lexuses or whatever you have, or a Dodge truck. Yes, there's someone here with a Dodge truck. But that as there is abundance, we are able to give. That was one of the things that Derek Prince would emphasize. Is they would say, why do you talk about, you know, that Jesus said that he came to give life and that abundantly. So the word, say abundantly. So abundance is a blessing. And when you can have enough where you can more than pay your bills and have enough left over to bless others, to bless the house of God, to bless the widows and the orphans, that is blessing, all right? I am blessed. Say, I am blessed. So you are blessed to be able to give. And it's so wonderful to be able to give. We often, Bonnie and I, one of the fun things we do is if we see in a restaurant a group of people wearing uniform of the armed forces or even policemen, we'll do, if we can, we'll play sneaky and pay their bill for us because they protect us and help us. So, but it's fun to give. Isn't that right? Yes. It's fun to sow seed. And may you be blessed tonight even. Come to a new level of abundance for you and your children so we can give more. Amen? I want to give more. Say, I want to give more. Hallelujah. So we want to thank the Lord and stay in that place of thanksgiving and praise. And I'll come on that in a moment. One of the other things, by the way, as a thing about this year, what's happening is I got this. This was in CBN and a couple of other sources that high-level government officials, that means cabinet, the members of the cabinet and others, they are now meeting weekly for Bible study in the White House. And praise God. And that this has not happened in that way where cabinet ministers regularly attended for more than 100 years. This is the first time in 100 years that that the whole cabinet would gather together weekly in a Bible study and prayer in the White House. So I just want you to recognize that God honors that kind of behavior. Here, among those who regularly attend are Energy Secretary Rick Perry, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, CIA Director Mike Pompeo, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, Vice President Mike Pence, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and with them also Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson and EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt among the sponsors and attendees of this Bible study. Praise God that the Word of God is being honored. Hallelujah. So that's something that we appreciate. So from this watch, World Watch headquarters, we also send blessing over the White House. We send blessing and covering prayer for the protection and prosperity and blessing over President Donald Trump, over the First Lady, over his family, over Vice President Mike Pence and his wife and the White House, that God will cover, protect it, prosper it, and the bind back the spirit of division, bind back the spirit of just horrible division, treachery, whatever it is. Where this is, I mean, this kind of, it's like the devil is afraid of what will happen, that the revival will break through, this nation will be restored, and as it's restored, we are in such a level of abundance that we are able to once again, in our freedom, bless others, and other nations would see that as a model, and that we don't have to bow our knees to the spirit of Antichrist, that we who love the Constitution, we who worship Jesus Christ so freely, in the, that others will see that as a model. But I think there are things that the enemy is doing, and we have to use, the Christians must rise up, the Christians must be united in prayer and in praise and hold on to that atmosphere and keep that bubble of glory around us so we can use the power of agreement and chase away the powers of darkness. Believe me, we have to not only achieve the victory, but keep the victory, all right? And keep the hyenas and coyotes and wolves away from our nation. The demonic spirits of darkness away from the attacks, division. It's like a vile tongue. And this, one of the symptoms of this, by the way, is, and I don't want to get into politics, I hope, for me, it's a spiritual battle. And as you see, the victory, that here, Bible studies every week, well, that's a victory. People used to be ashamed of the Bible. They would disdain the Bible a few years ago. And it looked like the spirit of Islam and Antichrist were winning. And now things are turning around. Well, we got to maintain the praise and the victory and say, devil, keep back. We plead the blood of Jesus over us, over our families, over our nation. You cannot touch us or divide us. Therefore, these slippery tongues and this demonic leaking that where, I mean, it goes to where you want to laugh at the ridiculousness of the enemy. That, I mean, it is extreme, but I am praying, Lord, put a guard over the White House. There is something demonically attacking there where whatever is said is leaked out. And so entire phone calls of the president. Hello, President France. How are you? Can we plan a little thing against ISIS? And can we do this? And everything that the president says is leaked out. And so what? You can't run. You can't run a government where every, you know, I mean, any plans against the demonic powers like ISIS, for example, they're all put out there. I mean, something is leaking out. And we want to praise a supernatural answer. That I'm just concerned that there's something way down there that whoever is that committing in many ways what we would consider treachery. During Second World War, if whatever Franklin Delano Roosevelt was planning out and saying, all right, Mr. Churchill, we are going to do this on the, this is what D-Day landings do. One of the interesting studies, if you will make, is how the subterfuge to let Hitler and Nazi Germany think they were going to attack in one place, and they thought they invented a whole third army. If you've seen Patton, the movie, they had a dummy army with dummy thousands of rubber tanks and all of that, and it was a whole pretense to make the Nazi army think that they were going to attack and do the D-Day landings, and it was so important, no leaks were there. So hundreds of thousands of Americans and British and Allied soldiers were going to land in Normandy, called the D-Day, but they had to keep it all secret so the enemy would not, otherwise, I mean, several thousands died even then, but there would have been a massacre of all. They did a successful landing. But I'm just sharing with you how important it is that what is supposed to be kept in the integrity of the discussion so there are no leaks. That is important. And otherwise, if you leak it out, it is treachery during the time of war if they did that. Even in England, there would be hangings and things like that. So anyway, I don't want to be like that's what we want to do. But if people are leaking information and doing nasty things, that has to be revealed and stopped. Anyway, I don't want to, you know, not politics. I'm just saying that's part of the things that are happening, that we want to put a prayer shield over our nation and over certain strategic things. And so what are the last prayer requests? And then I have a brief word I want to give you. But the focus of the nation we're also wanting to pray tonight and be in agreement with is God's mercy over the nation of Venezuela. We have had people from Venezuela attend our church here, but this watchbook we wrote this is, it says chaos looms over Venezuela as the socialist government of under Nicolas Maduro is pushing that once thriving nation. It has perhaps the largest reservoir of oil in the world. There's no reason for them to be utter starvation. They're in starvation and bankruptcy. They had a headline today in the Drudge Report of their currency. I mean, $1 brings to you about, I think, 17,000 bolivars. It should have been $1 is equal to one bolivar. That's their dollar. Now, you do $1. So I want to buy a loaf of bread. Loaf of bread is $17,000. Yes, I mean, if you went to the grocery store, you would be total shock, wouldn't you? But the corruption, it's a tragedy happening just not too far down, too far down in Latin America. We are praying tonight for Venezuela. The communist socialist policy, I mean, it says the people of Venezuela are suffering from lack of food, scarce medicine, and extreme violence. You can have an emergency. There is no anesthesia, very little, no medicine for the people. They're suffering. So we are praying tonight that the Lord will set that nation free from the communist oppressive regimes, and that the nation would be restored and be in revival once again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the scripture, therefore, in the context of what we see, in the context of what I see for all our families, even, that as we are going to, I believe that the breakthrough is at hand for our families. That we are, that's why one of the things about staying in the glory, stay in the bubble of glory, and keep that atmosphere over you. And part of it is there, the way you keep in that atmosphere. It's important. It doesn't matter what's happening outside your bubble. Don't get defined by what's happening in the natural. You got to look at God and know that He's giving you the victory, and He's going to give you more victory. Say more victory. So where is your vision? That it is, we always keep the Lord Jesus has given us the victory, and you keep the anointing, keep the bubble, if I can call it that, that presence of the Shekinah glory around you, and keep praising and thanking God. So as we reached just a climactic kind of conclusion to that conference on Saturday night, Steve Swanson was leading us. Some of you were. How many of you were here? Well, those who missed it, you know, get on the web, and we have the recording of that, and you'll get some idea of it. I think we might get a little taste of it too. In a moment, I want us to get into praise and thanksgiving. That one of the keys, and it takes a challenge, because the atmosphere around us, you have to make an effort to get into that place of glory where the miracles are happening, breakthroughs are happening, and you get it in the name of Jesus. You praise, and part of it, the thing that will help you is keep connected with the glory and get it thicker and thicker around you of His presence, that when His presence would come, His people would get the victory. Remember that where the Ark of the Covenant for the people of God in the Old Testament, wherever they took the Ark with them, the presence went, and where the presence was, any enemy that came against them has had to run seven different ways, because they could not be defeated. Say, I cannot be defeated. So in that, then I'll give you two, just basically a couple of scriptures that it says in Psalm 8, verses 1 and 3, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now Jesus quotes this psalm, and when he does so in Matthew 21:16, it says, And he said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So perfect praise comes when you open your mouth and give thanks to the Lord, or praise, you give out perfect praise. And that gives you, it's a key for you to be in victory and keep in victory. So do not let other things, anything happening around you, discourage you from your praise. Your praise is your key to your victory. The bubble of glory, therefore, part of it, I want to call it the bubble of praise. Stay in their own, and then connect with those who are also in praise and thanksgiving. It was wonderful to see some of the people dancing here and things. And we need each other's strength to stay strong and keep the atmosphere of victory. So the key to your victory is your praise. Okay. As we get into that praise, keep in it. Keep that, because it's the key for us to stay connected with victory, with your breakthrough. The colder then, I find that the colder the church gets in their praise, the colder we get less and less in the revival glory. So we, it's not a thing, okay, I got to go praise. But I feel bad for many people who don't see the key of it, that they get the victory and say, oh, praise God, thank you, yes, thank you. Thank you, Pastor, it was so wonderful. And then, and then very slowly says they lose the breakthrough they had, and the enemy comes to steal. And if he can make us cold, if he can steal our praise, he can start stealing other things. And that's, I saw that we have to aggressively maintain our praise as the Church of Jesus Christ. And as we do so, the atmosphere of our nation will be, there is a scripture, I don't know whether I'll get to it, but the ceasing of violence in our cities is connected with our praise. That if we keep praising and thanking and maintain the intensity of the glory in our praise, the violence will be quieted down in our city and around us. So we have to open our mouths. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou has ordained praise. And 1 Chronicles 29, now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, as they give sacrifices and to build the temple of God with out of the spirit of abundance. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Zair, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Remember 2 Chronicles 20, it says, awesome victory. Seemed like the enemies of Israel were going to defeat Judah, and yet they were able to get into supernatural victory. Now, I'll just remember, I said, the devil can steal your praise, then he can steal the rest of your storehouse. When praise goes up, victory comes down. And so it concerns me when people looking at the small things start complaining and griping. And the more as I get into that, and as a nation, that's why the media, I consider the regular media in the United States as an enemy of God and representative of the spirit of Antichrist, because they continuously sow doubt and then steal the people's confidence in themselves and in what God can do in our nation. And it is important, because if they can do that, and then the thief can come. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he has done that. And so this is a very a strategic season where we have to keep strengthening our praise and our victory. And I wanted to, just the final scripture I wanted to talk about just is that in Genesis, basically I want to say the Genesis of praise that leads to victory. And it's in Genesis 29. And I just wanted to read that. Then we want the bubble machine to go, and I want you to get into the glory. Genesis 29, verse 31. Now, you find that when my iPad is a little misbehaving, so anyway, so it's in Genesis 29. Jacob has two wives, remember. One is Rachel. She's beautiful. She's and Jacob's heart starts beating when he sees her, wants to marry her, but he has to marry her sister Leah so he can have Rachel. It's a long, somewhat of a story that I don't want to go into, except to say Jacob prefers Rachel, somewhat disdains, and the Bible in the King James translation says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and it's not, he just tolerated her. It's not that he was going to destroy her, but Leah was hated. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. From that came the Reuben sandwich. No, I made that up. And Reuben means the Lord has seen my affliction. Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So her focus right now is on her husband. Oh, please love me. If you will just love me. And that. So she says, look, Rachel doesn't have any children. I have given you son number one, Reuben. Jacob still ignores her. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son. Also, and she called his name Simeon. Simeon means the Lord has listened to my prayers. Again, she focused on her husband. Well, now maybe he will like me. Nope. And then she conceived again and This time she named her son Levi. Now just see what, I mean, this is, the whole Levitical priesthood comes from this son, Levi. The guys who were the priests. Means connected or attached. And she was persistently trying to get the love of Jacob. And the Lord, one of the things God is doing something now, is transforming her focus from Jacob. You'll see her focus is transferred to something else. And she conceived again. And she says, now I will praise the Lord. And therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise. So this is the genesis of praise. And I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what the situation is, whether I am loved or not loved does not matter. And so her focus now with Judah, focus is on the Lord and not on Jacob. It has changed. And her focus, the moment praise comes in, her focus turns to the Lord. So praise changes your focus to the Lord. Whatever the difficulty, the Lord gives you victory in the situation with praise. And so you find that as they in Judges, after that book of Judges in chapter 1, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites? So again, the enemy is rising up to fight against them. And the Lord specifically said, guess what, guys? The one that goes ahead of all of you guys is Judah, is praise. Say praise. Praise comes first. And the whole thing parts, and they are able to go and have victory over their enemies. In Isaiah 60:11, it says, therefore the gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces, the wealth of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. What are these gates God is talking about? You find. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. Isaiah 60:18 says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. We're going to talk about Chicago. Talking about some of the larger cities and where there's violence. Wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. So where there is praise, an atmosphere of praise, in your home, over the city, more we open the gates with praise, the more violence is abated. And so it is quite a bit responsibility. This is, as we get into praise, it is not a performance thing. It's not so much competition or entertainment. It is to keep the gates of glory open for us, that the atmosphere of glory will defeat the enemy. So today we say, thank you, Lord. We praise you. And as we praise you for this good jobs report, the economy beginning to heal, we want to aggressively keep our praise going, thanksgiving over the church, over the city. More praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. And then we'll take a moment to pray for a few of the, we send, praising the name of the Lord, we send the healing angel for little Trinity, that there would be a turnaround for her situation. Tonight, we bless every family here, and every family watching, every family, all nations, every family that's watchmen, we send blessing on every partner. with us. May the glory of the Lord come. May our gates be open. Hallelujah. Violence shall no more be heard in this land, nor wasting, nor destruction within our borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to praise the Lord. We can release the bubbles if we have them. So we can stay in that bubble as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what are we going to sing?
We're going to dance for the glory.
Amen. Come on up, guys. If you will, come up front. Hey. Ho-ho. Praise you, Lord. The bubble of praise. Bubble of glory. We're going to dance a little bit. Thank the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.